Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Integral Recovery, a revolutionary approach to the treatment of alcoholism and addiction, by John Dupuy. Foreword by Douglas Prater and Dr. Bob Weathers. Narrated by William Saris. Publisher's note. In this audio edition, you will hear references to figures present in the print and ebook formats of the book. Foreword. If it weren't for Integral Recovery, I wouldn't be here today. I don't mean that I wouldn't be in a position to introduce this book, though that's certainly true. I mean that the ideas and practices in this book saved my life. Integral Recovery pulled me back from the brink when everything seemed hopeless. My health was failing, my life was in tatters, and I didn't see any way out or any possibility that I would ever be able to return to a life worth living. The ideas and the practices in this book didn't just save my life, though. They helped me to transform, to grow, to evolve, and to thrive in ways that I never would have imagined were possible for anyone, especially someone whose life has been as thoroughly destroyed by addiction as mine. This is the book I wish I had when I took my first fumbling steps toward recovery nearly 20 years ago. In Integral Recovery, John Dupuy has masterfully combined his years of experience in the field of addiction recovery and all the wisdom gained therefrom with the profound insights and comprehensive approach of Ken Wilber's Integral Theory to give us a complete, practical, life-changing system to overcome the pernicious, insidious, multifaceted problem of addiction. If you listen to this book, and more importantly, put its teachings into practice, your life will transform beyond recognition. Integral Recovery is a holistic approach to recovery. It is the first and only approach I know of that looks at every area of our lives, both internal and external, and shows us how these factors combine and interact to lead us into addiction and keep us stuck. More importantly, Integral Recovery provides the map to get us out. And for that, you'll find no better guide than John. John Dupuy has a gift for taking complex ideas and presenting them in a memorable and easily understandable way. In this book and in his podcasts, he rides a skillful line between communicating the gravity of the addict's predicament with a palpable dose of hope and inspiration born from experience. A truly adept teacher, John communicates compassion and understanding without sugarcoating the truth. He is a man who walks his talk. I've never known anyone more committed to a life of integral practice. In John Dupuy, the medium is truly the message, and it's a message we all, addict or not, desperately need. Those of us who have struggled with addiction, or who have looked on in horror as a loved one succumbed to its grasp, understand too well how thoroughly destructive the condition can be. Addiction leaves no area of our lives untouched. It ravages our bodies, our minds, our psychological health. It devastates our relationships, our families, and our careers. For many, addiction drives severe legal and financial problems that haunt us for life. And it's not only the consequences that are complex. The causes of addiction are equally so, feeding and amplifying one another in a vicious, cascading cycle. A problem as pervasive and destructive as addiction requires a system of recovery that addresses all the variables. Anything less not only leaves us vulnerable to relapse, but keeps us from becoming the people we are meant to be, the people we must be. The world needs us, now more than ever, to be our best selves and to give our gifts in service of the world. In Integral Recovery, John offers a timeless and powerful gift, a toolkit and a roadmap to beat addiction once and for all. Even those who've never struggled with addiction will find a comprehensive system of personal transformation, a map to growth, healing, personal, relational, and societal evolution. This book will help us wake up, grow up, clean up, and show up. And not a moment too soon. keep practicing. Douglas Prater, Integral Recovery Coach, May 26, 2021. Ever listen to a book that saved your life, literally? My dear friend John Dupuis saved mine, and I'm here to tell you a thing or two about it. When I finally got into serious addiction recovery 10 years ago, no longer as a psychologist working with those suffering from this malady, but now as a patient, I quickly realized that two things in what passed for available models of recovery were going to be the death of me. One had to do with depth, the other with breadth. With some version of gun to head, I had been ordered to join 12-step meetings, that is, if I was serious about sobriety. It didn't take me long to discover that this was not my tribe. What do I mean by this? Long ago, I stopped finding the language of conventional religion meaningful. Traditional forms of prayer and devotion leave me dry. Yet, here I was in AA, being invited into exactly what I had left 30 years prior, on the cusp, ironically, of entering Christian seminary. All I knew for sure was that, with no disrespect to others' paths to sobriety, including those embracing traditional religious beliefs, this was surely not going to be my answer. Simply put, I had already spent too many years seriously engaged in spiritual forms and practices far removed from my earlier religious roots to go backward now. I knew I needed something deeper. And that wasn't all. I also had way too much professional training and background in science, medical perspectives, the humanities, and especially clinical psychology to buy into the one-size-fits-all mentality being proffered in standard approaches to recovery. When I heard that addiction is a spiritual problem, I cringed twice over. Not only was the spiritual solution suggested too simplistic for me to seriously consider, it was seen as the only solution. In my case, for better or worse, you simply weren't going to succeed at putting the jack back in the box. I knew I would never find my way with traditionally pietistic theism, nor would I be remotely satisfied ignoring, as outside issues, the society in which I live and became addicted. My biological inheritance and how it informed my vulnerability to addictive behaviors of all sorts, and the relational matrix in which I developed, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I was fully aware at the very outset of my new commitment to recovery that what I had was a profound conviction that unless the course I took was both deep enough and broad enough, I would fail and likely die. Enter John Dupuis and Integral Recovery. Here was an approach to spirituality that was virtually limitless in scope. Non-dual approaches are like that. Plus, John was as committed to practice as to theory, the injunctive strand at the heart of every truly transformative tradition. And that wasn't all. Integral Recovery addressed every single facet of my life which I intuited to be relevant, yes, even critical, to my long-term success in recovery. John addressed the biomedical dimensions of my disease. Yes, physicians are absolutely correct in their assessment of addiction as a disease from within their essential scientific paradigm. John also incorporated the socio-political and economic dimensions contributing both to addiction and recovery. The real world really matters. As if this was not enough already, John went on to integrate the psychological, internal psychodynamic, and relational, interpersonal systemic dimensions which bind us in addiction and liberate us in genuine, sustained recovery. John and his wife Pam have been dearest friends of mine for these past 10 years of recovery. This book, this friendship, and their loving support have all saved my life, and may save yours or that of someone you love as well. May that come to pass. Dr. Bob Weathers, May 27, 2021. Introduction. Why another book on recovery from addiction? Chances are, if you are listening to this, there is an addict in your life. Maybe it's a family member, a friend, a client, a coworker. Maybe it's you. For years, I have worked on the front lines of addiction treatment, working with families and individuals. This journey has taken me to the inside of jails, hospitals, AA meetings, wilderness quests, juvenile halls, funeral parlors, and countless other environments where the toll of the disease can be seen in the naked suffering that it causes. In the case of my brother, addiction to pharmaceuticals coupled with depression led to his suicide. A beloved aunt died a slow, painful death of emphysema from a lifetime of smoking. And an uncle, who had struggled with alcoholism for years, ended his life with a shotgun. This is just a small part of my story. Each of you listening to this will have your own stories and losses. I hope it will be evident in the course of this book that the circle of our concern and care is not just for the suffering addict, but for all who have suffered from the ravages of this disease. When you begin to look comprehensively at addiction and make the connections to neglected and abused children, fetal alcohol syndrome, crimes committed, individuals locked up, suicides, families destroyed, talents and gifts never realized, and hopes dashed, the extent of the suffering you find is simply enormous. It is my hope and prayer that this book and Integral Recovery can begin to shine a new light of hope where before there has existed largely confusion and despair. This book is intended to work on the front lines of the fight against the disease of addiction, in the hands of addicts and their families, their loved ones, their healthcare providers, their therapists, their friends, their teachers, and life coaches. Integral Recovery is about action, about practice, about commitment, and about service, not merely an intellectual exercise or discourse on a philosophical approach, although it can be that too, but something for you to study and then engage in, to move upon the knowledge. Integral Recovery is an urgent appeal to stand up, reach out, and set foot on the journey of recovery, self-discovery, and transformation. As Americans, we must begin by asking the question, why do we, the United States, use the lion's share of the illegal drugs on the planet when we are such a small percentage of the population? What is going on and what went wrong? Why has our war on drugs, which started as far back as the Nixon administration, failed to stop the spread and rise of drug abuse and abuse in our country, among all age groups and socioeconomic groups? Another way of putting this is, why haven't we been able to protect generations of our children from drugs, tobacco, and alcohol? Some years ago, I was trying to connect these dots on a personal level, as well as at the larger national and world levels. At one point, I thought this might be a book I had to write. Happily, someone beat me to the punch. High Society, a recently published book by Joseph A. Califano Jr., former director of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare under Jimmy Carter, brilliantly illuminates the price that our civilization, culture, economy, families, and individuals are paying for the plague of drug abuse and addiction that is wreaking havoc on our country and our world. Califano does a masterful job of laying out the costs and causes of this human catastrophe in a clarion call of alarm and possible hope, if we change our attitudes and approaches to the myriad issues involving drug abuse and addiction in our country. Although we are 4% of the world's population, we Americans consume 65% of the world's illegal drugs. One in four Americans will have an alcohol or drug disorder at some point in his or her life. And most of these people have parents, children, siblings, friends, and colleagues who will suffer collateral damage. Califano's call is to sober up our high society and to recognize that substance abuse and addiction together make up the nation's number one serial killer and crippler. And he calls for us to acknowledge these fundamental realities. Addiction is a chronic disease of epidemic proportions, with physical, psychological, emotional, and spiritual elements that require continuing and holistic, integral care. Addiction is a culprit implicated in our nation's high health care costs, crime, social ills, including child abuse and neglect, chronic poverty, homelessness, teen pregnancy, the wildfire spread of sexually transmitted diseases, and family breakup. There are statistical and biological, chemical and neurological relationships among smoking, abusing alcohol, and marijuana use, and between abuse of those drugs and use of cocaine, heroin, prescription drugs, methamphetamines, hallucinogens, and other substances. According to the National Institute on Drug Abuse, the economic cost of drug abuse in the United States reaches into the hundreds of billions of dollars. In 2006, the Schneider Institute estimated that 10% of the national health care budget was being spent on drug abuse and addiction, $230 billion, and climbing every year. Hold this thought in the light and add to it that only around 10% of those who need treatment actually get it, and that even in the blue-chip treatment centers, the success rates are approximately 30%. We can begin to see the magnitude of the problem. Although the dollar amounts are staggering, it hardly touches on the emotional and spiritual costs of addiction. The lost and wasted human potential, the devastation to families and communities. One factor that bears constant repeating is that young people are much more susceptible to becoming addicted. The young brain is supremely vulnerable to this disease. Califano writes that for more than a decade, 12 to 17-year-olds have named drugs as the number one problem they face when responding to an open-ended question in the annual back-to-school survey of the National Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse, CASA, at Columbia University. As Califano points out, if you can keep individuals off drugs, cigarettes, and alcohol until they reach adulthood, the chances of them becoming addicted diminish almost to the point that it is no longer a threat. I bring this up not only because it gives us more insight into the beginnings of this disease, but also because it should be shouted from rooftops across the land that there is a moral imperative to protect the youth from the devastating effects of addictive substances. In all my years of listening to addicts and their stories, I cannot recall one story where the using did not begin when the addicted were in their youth. There, of course, may be exceptions, but this is a powerfully tragic truth and a strong indictment against those who would sell and market these life-destroying substances to the young. Again, it is not enough to tell young people what not to do. We must also tell them and model what to do. This is the great hope and challenge of integral recovery. So, why another book on recovery? A great and valid question. The answer is that by using the integral map, developed by Ken Wilber, a philosopher of extraordinary breadth, depth, and erudition, and other integral pioneers, we can look at the disease of addiction with new eyes and a new understanding that has never before been available to us. The integral map enables us to avoid making the crucial mistake of neglecting key aspects of the addictive process and allows us to cover all the essential bases. Viewing the disease of addiction through the lens of the integral map is what separates integral recovery from other holistic approaches to treatment. The problem with prior models lies not in how they deal with some of the important aspects of the disease, but that they lack a means to deal with all the vital aspects of addiction. In integral thought, we say that everyone is right in what they affirm, but err in what they neglect. Because addiction affects and eventually destroys the addicted person comprehensively in all the fundamental dimensions of his or her life, it is vital that all the affected and infected parts be addressed, understood, and healed. If we leave any holes in the dike, we will not hold back the ocean over time. And if we leave a big hole or many holes, the dike will collapse quickly, and those whom the dike was intended to protect will be swept away. For example, while Alcoholics Anonymous includes great community support and inspiration, as well as acknowledging and working on the spiritual aspects of the disease, it does not include the latest neurological and genetic science, which has a huge part to play in healing the disease of addiction. And even the most cutting-edge, holistic approaches to addiction, which do endeavor to include the body, mind, heart, and soul, do not include developmental stages or types, which, when used within an integral framework, affect an absolute quantum leap in our understanding and approach to treatment. What is integral recovery? I am often asked, what exactly is integral? And what does it mean when you use it in the title, integral recovery? I hope that this book will clarify exactly what integral means in relation to recovery, but I will offer a simple explanation from the start. Integral is holism with a map. Let me explain. Take the example of traditional medicine. Many of us, over the years, have come to realize that traditional medicine, while very effective in so many ways, completely misses the boat in many other very important ways, addiction, for example. We have rightly seen and intuited that standard allopathic medicine seems to have emerged in a vacuum, often treating its patients as if they, too, had developed in a vacuum, where physical bodies are divorced from minds, spirits, relations, nutrition, cultures, and the world around us. The physicians and those of us who advocate for consideration of these things when treating a patient are kept outside the circle of acceptable true medicine, and are thought to have moved into the realm of the fanciful and unscientific, even when our holistic leanings are totally in congruence with the leading edge of many fields of science. Holism is an emergent way of viewing the world that was largely brought into the modern and now postmodern West by the mind-blowing and paradigm-shattering findings in the field of quantum mechanics and quantum physics. Time is relative. Matter is energy. The observer affects the observed. Goodbye objective science and our firm grasp on the nature of reality. The psychedelic 60s also helped many of us to deconstruct our divided and subdivided universe. In our psychedelic visions, we could clearly see that we were split within ourselves and separate from each other, the earth, and nature. Most of our academic disciplines and sciences would not even talk to each other. Of course, developmentally, there is a time when separation and autonomy are beneficial, for example, when science was let loose to advance on its own, rather than forced through the ecclesiastical filter of the Bible. As soon as science became unfettered and untethered by religion, the modern world could be born. But by the middle of the 20th century, we had moved beyond the point where an atomistic and autonomous view of the world was useful. What had formerly been the way out became the trap. Humpty Dumpty had taken a great and useful fall, but now the task was how to put him back together again. How could so many diverse and beautiful pieces be reunited in a life-enhancing, world-restoring, unitive vision and practice? The holistic intuition was that individual parts cannot be comprehended or treated effectively if they are not understood as part of a larger whole. The sum of the parts creates a greater whole, and the parts themselves are without meaning if placed into a vacuum. Try to imagine a human being with nothing else. It's impossible. The holistic quest became to remember the world and remember our essential unity, so that we cease to act in unwise and harmful ways. The hope was that perhaps by bringing all these parts back together, we could create a better world and a better future for ourselves, our children, and all life forms. Presently, the word holistic has been used so much that it has become somewhat of a cliché. There are so many versions of holistic, each one interpreted by someone claiming to be holistic in his approach and practice, that the word often loses its meaning. In the world of wilderness therapy, my field of endeavor for a couple of decades, the word holistic is all the rage when describing new programs. What it generally means is that a program may pay more attention to diet than in the past, and perhaps throw in some yoga and meditation, or something along these lines. I myself have struggled while developing programs, knowing that traditional treatment methods were missing big pieces of the puzzle, and wondering if my model managed to include all that was necessary and essential for recovering the health of my students. When I co-founded Passages to Recovery, a therapeutic wilderness program for adults suffering from alcoholism and other forms of addiction, I could see how previous wilderness models had left out major areas that needed attention if our students were to have a better chance of getting well and staying sober. So I studied the brain, nutrition, meditation, yoga, and any other fields of knowledge I thought would be useful, and tried to put them all together in a new and creative way. It was pretty good, sort of like being an intuitive cook. Add a little of this and a little of that, put it on the stove, and hopefully it will turn out not only edible, but also tasting good. This is how the holistic approach developed. Body, mind, spirit, nature, and, yeah, let's see what we can do. It wasn't very clear, and rightly criticized as being rather mushy and murky. So, while intuiting and understanding that a holistic approach was necessary and superior, I struggled with how to identify all that was necessary to consider, and how to fit it all together. Then, in 2004, when I read a paper by Ken Wilber that was published on the internet, in which he described the integral or AQUAL map, I immediately understood that this was the map that the emerging holistic worldview needed to become radically more holistic and hence effective. It included the essential dimensions of reality, the four quadrants, multiple human intelligences, lines, stages of growth, developmental maps, states of consciousness, and typologies, with a clear understanding that we had to deal with our personal and collective shadows, and that the way to bring this understanding beautifully into fruition, into our world, our lives, and our bodies, was through dedicated, ongoing integral practices. The more I looked at it, the more I saw. The integral map shows us all that is absolutely essential for us to consider on every occasion, and also how it all fits together. The map is what makes the integral approach both revolutionary and powerful. In our times of increasing complexity, this map serves as an operating system that allows us to organize information and integrate it in ways that were unimaginable in the past. The integral map enables us to embrace complexity and change, whether in the life of an individual or concerning any issue, challenge, or problem, in our case, the treatment of addiction, rather than throwing up our hands in despair or retreating to simplistic solutions that don't work because essential dimensions are being neglected or left out. The integral map takes holism from a brilliant intuition to a brilliant blueprint, and integral practice takes the brilliant blueprint into life-changing, multidimensional reality. A short definition of integral recovery is a lifetime integral recovery practice illuminated by the integral map. Integral recovery practice, at the core of integral recovery, is a sophisticated system of personal development that engages body, mind, heart, and spirit in daily practices designed to produce extraordinary health and awakening on all levels of our being. I will introduce these essential practices in the second half of the book. As the chapter headings denote, the focus is on building the body, transforming the brain, healing the emotions, the power of transmuting the shadow, and healing the spirit. Maintaining the practices with ongoing, lifelong dedication is the key to mastering a life of recovery. The framework offered by the integral approach to recovery from addiction is self-correcting, in that it expects, encourages, and integrates change and evolution of the model itself as new information, data, and modalities emerge and come online. The model will become more effective, more elegant, and more beautiful as it evolves and grows. I make no claims that integral recovery is a cure for addiction. It is not a magic bullet. But each part of the map, each practice, and each insight is a nudge in the right direction. And as these many nudges accumulate and synergize each other, soon we find that we are nudged right off the board and into an entirely new game altogether. The disease of addiction has become the adventure of creating our highest and best selves. Here are just a few of the benefits of the integral recovery approach to treating addiction. 1. It's a much more encouraging and attractive model than those currently in use, as the emphasis is on personal growth, not just the negativity of addiction. The focus is not merely on not using, but on emotional, intellectual, and spiritual growth and physical well-being. 2. It transcends the traditional dichotomy of addict and non-addict. In the integral recovery approach, everyone is a practitioner, including
sample complete. Ready to continue?